His name was General Khalid Aziz. He had served as head of the Iraqi Republican Guard, Saddam Hussein's elite military machine, since the end of the Gulf War, and no one was more trusted with the president's personal security or the stability of the regime than he. As head of Saddam's intelligence services during the war with Iran in the 1980s, it was Aziz who pressed successfully for funding to build an elaborate and sophisticated maze of steel and concrete-hardened bulletproof bunkers beneath Baghdad, in case such hiding places would ever be needed for the leaders of the regime during war or revolution. Construction began in late 1986, amid various and conflicting public reports that Saddam was launching a massive archaeological excavation, building a world-class subway system to rival any such system in the West, or renovating downtown and building a huge new office and shopping complex. By the time U.S. smart bombs began falling from the Baghdad sky like rain on Seattle, the construction was largely complete, but no archaeological site, subway system, or commercial complex was ever officially announced, much less opened. And Saddam Hussein had almost effortlessly survived one of the most aggressive bombing campaigns in the history of modern warfare. It didn't take a rocket scientist for the CIA or Saddam himself to figure out why, and General Aziz emerged as a national hero as a result. The general was also the man almost singularly responsible for kicking UNSCOM, the United Nations Special Commission for Finding and Destroying All of Saddam Hussein's Weapons of Mass Destruction, out of Iraq forever. It had been years since UNSCOM inspectors had set foot in the country, and it was the general's job to keep it that way. And to the amazement of his boss, and most of the world, he'd been spectacularly successful. The most perilous moment in the general's long career came in the early 1990s, when two top Iraqi nuclear scientists escaped the country and defected to the United States. Operations Purse Snatcher and Glowing Thunder were both spearheaded by Aziz's archenemy, Jack Mitchell, and these disasters nearly cost Aziz his life. Fortunately for the general, one of his lieutenants was able to locate one of the scientists, still in Jordan, and persuade him to come back without harm to see his family. According to the story picked up by the Jordanian intelligence services, when the scientist was finally brought to Aziz, an elaborate feast was prepared, and his wife, seven children, and close relatives were brought in to see him. Everyone was assembled, including President Hussein. It was quite an affair. General Aziz hugged the man, kissed him on both cheeks, and forgave him. Then, without warning, he drew a pistol and shot the scientist in the face. Each immediate family member was then individually beheaded, in full view of the others, by Aziz personally, with a gleaming Persian saber dating back to the 14th century. The screaming and hysterical wife was forced to watch and was beheaded last. Hussein and Aziz then sat down for the meal of roasted lamb, couscous, and baklava, as the scientists' numb relatives were forced to mop up. This redeemed the general in the eyes of the nation's supreme leader, and he had once again become Iraq's most glorious son. Now, however, Khalid Aziz was again in grave danger. Through careful tracking of Western trade publications and a series of emails from a mole burrowed deep inside the McPherson administration, Mukhabarat agents had recently picked up the scent of an enormous petroleum deal being hammered out by Kalashnikov, Saeed, and the American president's alma mater GSX, and the Joshua Fund. Aziz was stunned when he learned the unprecedented magnitude of the deal. His boss went ballistic, enraged by the prospect of unprecedented Israeli oil wealth, the destabilizing of OPEC, the obvious sellout by some moderate Palestinians in creating a joint venture with the Israelis, and the intensive involvement of the Americans, both in funding the project and working behind the scenes to persuade the Palestinian leadership to offer their blessings. Saddam Hussein's instructions were crystal clear. Shut it down. There were scores to be settled, and now was the time. Aziz had been given an operational plan handcrafted by Saddam himself. It was as brazen as it was barbaric. Assassinating President McPherson was just the beginning. The crown jewel would be unleashing the fury of Allah on Tel Aviv and New York to send the world a message and to finish the job Osama bin Laden had set into motion on September 11, 2001. The plan was stark. It was all or nothing. Kill or be killed. Wipe out the Americans and the Israelis, or be wiped out forever. The plan was simple. Not easy, but clear, concise, uncomplicated, and straightforward. And the plan was fully funded immediately. The best men and the best weapons were being made available for the cause. The critical elements of the plan's success, of course, were stealth, speed, and surprise. Now, however, events were already spinning out of control. Aziz's boss would not be happy, and he was due to brief the Iraqi president in just 10 minutes. It was time to set Plan B into motion.